good. Appreciate that. Well, it's been good this morning already. I trust the Lord has been pleased and praised already this morning, and he has been worshiped and glorified and lifted up. Amen. And I hope your soul has already been blessed. And let's open His Word together to Romans chapter 1 here this morning. Romans chapter 1. This is an important chapter in the Bible. It's not one of the most encouraging chapters in the Bible because it describes the depraved, sinful condition of mankind. It's describing, if you will, the need for salvation because man is evil, man is sinful, man is wicked, right? Let's look here. I'm going to let you remain standing. I'm just going to read one verse, and then we'll read some more verses here shortly. But let's go to Romans 1 here in verse 21. Here the Bible says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Let's read the next verse. "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Verse 22 right there, it's just as relevant today as it's ever been. Amen? Right there. "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." But you notice the phrase in verse 21, "neither were thankful." And I want to preach on that thought today. Neither were thankful. In the midst of this, and by the way, a little bit later, in this chapter, he gives a long list of wicked sins. He just names it out, lists it, but it begins early on with this one right here. Neither were thankful. So let's pray that God will help us. I'm glad you are thankful. I believe you've already showed thanks unto God today. But we want to give this emphasis here this morning. Let's pray. Father God, direct us. Give us clarity today of thought and speech, and may your Spirit speak to our hearts. Lord, if there's someone who needs to be saved, Lord, and God have the best Thanksgiving they've ever had, I pray you would touch that heart and draw them to yourself this morning. And those of us that are saved, Lord, that we would enjoy, Lord, your word and enjoy this Thanksgiving season as we can praise your name. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Neither were thankful. You know, you've heard the statement, to stop and think will cause you to think. And I believe that is true. To stop and just think about things, well, I believe we'll get to the point where we'll start saying, "Thank you, Lord," if we'll count our blessings. Amen? And just start to think about these things. I believe this is a favorite time of year. And I'm not going to ask you for a raise of hands, but I think it's a favorite time of year for a lot of people. We call it the holiday season, and I get that. I heard somebody say happy holidays the other day, and I get that. It is holiday season, but after Thanksgiving, just go ahead and say Merry Christmas, because that's where you're at then. Amen, right? So I don't mind happy holidays unless you're saying happy holidays because you refuse to say Merry Christmas. Now, that's a whole different story, but it is a holiday season is what I'm getting at. That might even perhaps mean a little time off for some folks here and there, right? So maybe some of that. There's family gatherings. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Y'all looking forward to that? I'm not being sarcastic. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Some family gatherings there, right? And family reunions, and get to have some of those things and do all of that. And I know from year to year that can be a difficult thing as well. I understand that. It's a wonderful time of year, but it can be a hard time of year. I get that too. And, I've said it recently, you always kind of wonder, whose last Thanksgiving is it going to be? Whose last Christmas is it going to be in the family? And, maybe last year that was the case for someone. And so we think about those things too. But in general, overall, I think it's a wonderful time of year. It's a pure time of year, I think. It kind of just makes us stop and think so that we will thank the Lord. It makes us just stop, I believe, and slow down even perhaps, and contemplate life and the goodness of God. Now, I know the new year does that too, by the way. It kind of makes us just stop and contemplate life, and everybody starts thinking about getting their life in gear. And the first 3 months of the year are the best, amen, until the New Year's resolutions run out, February or March, if you get that far. But it's kind of a refocusing time is what I'm getting at. And I think Thanksgiving can be that as well. a time to actually stop, slow down, and count your blessings. It's a blessing to do it. It's a good thing to do it. We'll do it tonight in our Thanksgiving service, in our praise service tonight. So I hope you will do that. The Bible says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes you just got to slow down in this loud, busy world. Just slow down, be still, and let God speak to your heart. That's the idea when Jesus talked about the prayer closet. That's the idea of coming into the sanctuary, the church house, for for a time of worship with the Lord, right? People say, well, you know, I can worship better out on the, you know, out on the boat or out in the woods. And you know, I get that, because I preached some on that the other night, Wednesday night. The Lord went into the mountain to pray and to teach and stuff like that. I get that, but I wouldn't say it's better than the church house, amen, because God ordained this one, amen. But I understand you get out and you just slow down and get quiet and think and contemplate about life and the goodness of God and all of these things. But the Bible here, in describing why salvation is needful, this is a treatise or here a doctrinal statement, if you will, on salvation that Paul gave here in the book of Romans. It gets very deep. But in the beginning, he's showing that man is depraved. That means man is just sinful. Man is wicked. Man just commits all kind of sins and just has no regard for God. Therefore, there is the need for salvation. If anybody ever says, I'm not that bad, I don't think I need salvation, tell them to go read Romans chapter 1, because that is God's indictment on all of mankind. We all fit in there. And I'm telling you, he gets real specific, gives a lot of things, but one of the sins that he names right up front is neither were thankful. They didn't appreciate God. They didn't want to hear God, listen to God, acknowledge God, or give thanks or praise unto God. So let's think about this today. I want to give you, I think, about three thoughts today. Number one is this. Let's just say this. Gratefulness is taught by God. Gratefulness is taught by God. What I mean by that is it's all through the Bible. It's all through the Bible. You've got Psalm 107:1 up there, Psalm 100. I mean, you can just go on and on and on with the verses in the Bible that tell us to give thanks and praise and thanksgiving unto God, because He's the one that deserves it, right? He's our Creator. And it is our job, our duty, our responsibility to live our lives for Him and for His glory. And to thank Him for the life that we have, right? So God, gratefulness, thanksgiving, if you will, is taught by God all through the Bible. He gives us this life and we're to appreciate it. Yet so often God is left out and life is abused. And, you know, God gives us things, and sometimes mankind in its wickedness takes what God gives, but then we twist it all around, and every man does that which is right in his own eyes instead of doing what God says, right? And we're not thankful to you, God. We don't want to listen to you, God. We don't want to do it your way. So, boy, he gives he explains that so well. Let's begin to, first of all, verse 20. The last phrase is, they are without excuse. Why? Because of creation. Verse 21, we read, says, neither were thankful. Verse 22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Let's pick up reading in verse 23. And it says, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. That is, men started worshiping idols that they could make and put on a shelf. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Well, that's what you do when you say you don't believe God, right? And worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. See, he had to stop and thank God right there, didn't he? Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet, that is fitting or appropriate. AIDS probably is the most prominent fulfillment of what he said right there. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then he goes on with a list of sins. But what he's saying there, God gave them, he says God gave them up, God gave them up, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. What is that? A corrupted way of thinking. God finally said, hey, you don't want to retain me in your knowledge, you don't want to give praise and thanks to me, and you don't want to do things the way I told you to do them. He said, I'm just going to give you up to a reprobate, corrupt mind. I tell you, a sinful mind can come up with all kind of things, evil imaginations, right? And just say, I don't want to do it God's way, therefore I'm not going to praise God. But here's what I'm getting at. God taught us. So what that means is, when God tells about all this stuff here in verse 21, when they knew God, they glorified Him, not God. In other words, God is saying, hey, you knew better. You ever said that to somebody or yourself? Hey, you knew better. And God said, because you want to go do your own thing and you want to go live in sin, which is disobedience to God, God says, I'm going to let you do it. And you're going to pay for it too, is what he's saying there. So being lost and on our way to hell is the worst part. But even in this life, sin complicates things. So I'm just trying to say, folks, gratefulness is taught by God, among a lot of other things. D.L. Moody once said, God's blessings are so abundant, we can't remember them all, but let's don't forget them all either. I like that. Amen. We can't remember all the blessings. You start counting your blessings, you can't even remember them all. Hey, but don't forget them. We certainly don't want to do that. God is the source of everything. James 1 says, every good and perfect gift is from above. Y'all believe that? God is the source of all good things. God is the source of your life. Thank Him for it. God is the source of anything you have today. Thank Him for it, right? Somebody said thank you to the delivery boy for bringing the bread, and he said, don't thank me, thank the store owner. She did that, and he said, no, thank the baker. She did that, and then the baker said, no, thank the farmer. She did that, and the farmer said, no, thank God. It always traces back, amen, to God being the source of all things. Now, we ought to appreciate and give thanks to those other folks too, amen. But ultimately, we know that all things belongs to God, who is the source of all things. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Preached on that a couple of weeks ago. Should I be thankful and grateful? It's the will of God. God wants us to. We're taught to. We're taught that that's the will of God. To be thankful and grateful for all things. Amen. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. That's Psalm 100, verse 4. You know, I think being thankful can be a learned behavior. Let me say this, especially by saved folks, amen? Now, have you ever told a child, what do you say now? What do you say? Say thank you, right? You ever done that? About 100,000 times, amen, right? It's just not our natural thing sometimes. But it can be taught, is what I'm saying. It can be a habit that we can learn. Did you know that being positive about everything, it can be a learned behavior? I ain't learned it yet, but I'm trying, right? I hadn't learned it. Be positive about everything. Lord help me, still working on me, amen, right? But we can be positive, we can be grateful, we can learn these things. And may God help us to do that. But I said especially among Christian people, because God is working on us, we can learn the habit of thanksgiving. The basis of it being, if we will just remember God and His goodness. Now this says they forgot God. They didn't retain Him in their knowledge. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, and they made their own gods, right? But if we'll stop and remember God Almighty up in heaven, it all comes from Him. He taught us to be thankful, and we'll just obey our Creator, we'll be thankful, grateful people. Amen, right? And that's the way the Lord wants us to do it. It's taught. You know, I read this in the early Thanksgivings before they would have the meal. that they would put like 5 kernels of corn on every plate for every person as a reminder of tougher times and as a lesson to the next generation to appreciate those that have come behind us. Amen, right? It might not be a bad idea. You might all try it this year. Amen. 5 kernels of corn and somebody saying, where's the turkey? You know, come on, let's get to that thing, right? But it reminds us there have been tougher times. But it is a teaching lesson, a teaching tool is what it was. It's taught of God. Let me say this, number two, gratefulness focuses on certain matters. Gratefulness focuses on certain matters. There's certain things that I think we ought to be grateful about. I thank the grace of God and salvation first and foremost. Amen. Don't you? You know, I look forward to tonight. I look forward to hearing your testimonies. I look forward to hearing people say, first of all, I thank God for my salvation. Hey, don't avoid that just because the preacher just said, hey, that's predictable. It is predictable. It's what we ought to be saying. Amen. First and foremost, I thank God for His grace to save me, sustain me, and to help me through life. Amen? God's grace is sufficient. Are you grateful for His grace today? Are you glad for His grace today? Have you acknowledged God and His grace? The gospel of grace that saves our soul. The Bible says in Romans 5, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. It is by grace through faith that we can be saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we ought to be grateful for that today. Amen. You could not save yourself. You were on your way to hell, hell-bent, hell-bound, hell-deserving. Now, I tell you, a lot of folks don't like that right there. Well, I don't deserve hell. Hitler deserves hell. I don't deserve hell. You don't understand God. You don't understand what God's trying to describe right here. You don't understand the pureness, the sinlessness, the holiness, the righteousness of God, and the depravity of our sinful hearts, that He would take the time to forgive us and pardon us and give us a home in His heaven that we do not deserve. The right attitude towards it is to say, I don't deserve it, therefore I'm grateful for grace. I can't earn it. I'm grateful for grace. Amen? We ought to shout glory, hallelujah, for the grace of God that saved our soul, keeps us out of hell, and reserves us a spot up there in heaven. Because that's the only way we're getting in. Lest any man should boast. I don't want to get to heaven and brag about how I got there other than Jesus. Amen? I got there because of Jesus. Be glad for that. Every day, thank God for His grace and His grace working in your life. Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Well, you know, we say we're sinners saved by grace, and we say that, you know, the Lord's working on us. The Lord's making us better. Hopefully we can say I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. That's saying, by the grace of God, I am what I am today. Amen. God has worked on me and got me to this point. I got a lot of work yet to do, right? Amen on that. I'm glad y'all didn't say amen right there, but I did about myself, you know. But it's the grace of God that we're not. I got to be careful here. I don't want to be like that publican. Thank you, Lord, I'm not like these other people, right? No, it's only by the grace of God that we're not like some other situations. You know, Matthew Henry, that great commentator on the Bible, he said one time after he was robbed, he said, I'm thankful that during all these years I've never been robbed before now. He said, even though they took my money, it wasn't much, amen? And even though they took my money, they didn't take my life. And then he said, finally, I'm grateful that I was robbed and I wasn't the one doing the robbing. He was saying, by the grace of God, I'm not that guy. I'm not doing that, right? Only by the grace of God. It could be turned around if it wasn't for the grace of God. Thank God today. Be grateful for His grace. Amen. Be grateful for His grace. I got a list here. Are you grateful for your country, a free country? Amen. You thankful for freedom? You thankful for liberty? You thankful for America? Amen. Thankful for God's answering prayers and helping America? Amen. All through its history up until today. Thank God for your country. Amen. Do you thank God for your family today? That ought to be one of the easiest ones right there to say, thank God for the family that He has given to you or to me. Thank God for your marriage. Thank God for your children, your grandchildren. Thank God for in-laws. Thank God for your in-laws. Amen, right? Thank God for the family that He's given to you, and you'll get the opportunity, perhaps, if COVID doesn't hit your family, you'll get together this week. Amen? We didn't go home for Thanksgiving last year. Maria had that surgery. She had surgery last year. We didn't go to Thanksgiving last year. And then when I heard my dad has COVID, and that sort of knocks, you know, the family thing out. I don't know. We'll work it all out. But we thank God regardless for our family. I thank God for telephones that we can talk, keep in touch with our family no matter where we're at. I mean, I lived in a day when you, have you ever thought about that? You lived in a day when you couldn't call somebody. I was wondering the other day, I was thinking about a little church I went to preach in whenever I was about 18 years old, I think. I got to go fill in at a church, and it was way out in the country. I'm like, I didn't have a cell phone or a GPS. How did I even get there? There was a day back when we could do stuff. Amen, right? And now I forgot everything I used to know. I don't even want to try it now without my tools, right? But no, we used to do stuff like that and get to those places. That was about the first time I got called to preach somewhere. And I preached morning and night. I studied. I worked hard, you know, and put everything together, had my notes and all that. I got up on Sunday morning. They introduced me, young preacher filling in for our pastor today. Glad that he's here. Brother, come on up and preach. And I came up, and I read, and I prayed, and about 5 minutes later, I ain't got nothing else. They got out so early that day. They sure did. I was done. I mean, I don't know how. Somehow, I came back that night and preached for about 25 minutes at least. So anyway, it got better from there. But I've heard so many of those first-time stories are like that, you know. And anyway, you study and study and study, and you think you're ready, and then that happens. But thank God for the opportunity anyway. Amen. But thank God for your family. Thank God for the gatherings. Thank God for all the stuff that you get to do with your family this week. Thank God for food, material blessings. Thank God for jobs. I don't like my job. Thank God you got a job. Amen, right? Thank God you got a job. I hate it. I can't stand it. I don't like my job. I hear that so much. Thank God. Be glad you got a job. Amen, right? Just be glad for that. The Bible says, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. You got food. You got some clothes. You got a roof over your head. God says, be glad for that, right? Let's get to thanking God for what we do have and stop worrying about what we don't have. Amen, right? God said, with that right there, be grateful. He promised our needs, amen. But let's be glad for that. And by the way, he gives so many blessings beyond, so thank God for that. A home to live in, are you grateful for a place to live? A man decided to sell his old broken down home, and he wrote out his little ad, and he gave it to the realtor, and the realtor read it back to him. And he said, wait a minute, I always wanted a place like that, so give me that back. So he realized he appreciated it after all, amen. So learn to appreciate what you do have in this life. I'm just saying gratefulness, I think, focuses on a lot of these things. How about your health? If you have decent health, good health, thank God for it. Sometimes a visit to the rest home or the hospital helps my perspective on that, you know, or seeing my wife suffering with sickness or somebody else suffering with sickness, it'll make you... Be grateful for what you got, amen, and thank God if you have good health, right? Was that last Sunday I said something about wanting a Pepsi Cola, and then I changed it to Mountain Dew, you know. I was thinking about years ago when I was in Greenville, there were several guys in my church that worked for the Pepsi Cola company, and this one guy, he was probably in his 40s, he's a pretty good-sized person, and... not healthy. He had a heart attack. But man, did he love a Pepsi Cola. He worked for him. That was his life. I go in the hospital and I see these guys after they've had open heart surgery. And I tell you what, I vow I'm going to go out of there and be the healthiest person because I ain't getting right there where he's at. You know, and that lasts a little while. But I see those guys in there getting over that and hooked up to all that stuff. Some of you been there and done it, right? And I'm thinking, man, I don't want to get there. But I remember this guy, he finally got to the point they could bring him a Pepsi Cola. You would have thought, man, that guy, boy, that is so good. Best thing he ever had in the world. I mean, that fixed everything right there. He finally got back to his Pepsi Cola, you know? And I'm thinking, they ain't that great. But anyway, but he loved it, you know? So he was thankful, I'll tell you that. Thank God if you got some health and can get out and do things. Amen. Pray for others that are dealing with not good health, right? Do you thank God for friends? Y'all grateful for that, a few of you? Yeah. Let me go back. Hey, are y'all grateful for family? Y'all grateful for friends? Friends wins. I'm trying to see which one is more appreciative of. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. Thank God. Appreciate people that God has put into your life. Amen is what I'm saying. You know, a doctor wrote to a former school teacher. Wrote a letter. A doctor now. Medical doctor. He's been through all this stuff. He's a medical doctor. He writes a letter of thanksgiving to a former school teacher. This school teacher is way up in age, way past retirement, and she gets that letter from this doctor. And she replied to him saying, I am now in my 80s, living alone in a small room, feeling like the last leaf on a tree. You'll be interested to know that I taught for 50 years, and yours is the first letter of thanks I have ever received. It came on a cold blue morning. Cheered my lonely heart like nothing has in years. I tell you, just sometimes saying thank you to somebody can really make their day. Amen? Lift their spirits. That somebody actually did appreciate you and what you did in their life. Amen? And we all thank God for friends. We all thank God for people in our life like that, people that God puts in our path. We all thank God. I'm just saying it focuses on certain things. Thank God for your church. Amen. Thank God for your church. You know, the most valuable things in life cannot be purchased with money. Thank God for these things. Amen. Thank God. It's right at 12 o'clock and I'm getting to my main point right now. All right. I'm getting to what I really want to preach on this morning. No, I'm kidding. It's taught by God. It focuses on certain things. And I just highlighted a few things there. But number three, I'm going to make this statement. Let me give you this. And this may not seem like a lot of thanksgiving here, but let me give you number three. View ungratefulness as an awful sin. You ought to view ungratefulness as an awful sin. It's one of the worst sins I think we can do against God. First of all, unbelief is the greatest sin. To call God a liar and say, I don't believe you and I don't trust you. But then to say, I'm not grateful to you is a great sin. That's why he put that in this chapter about the sinfulness of mankind. He said, neither were thankful. That was important to God. Before God gives this long list of terrible sins, he puts that one in. God wants to be praised. God deserves to be praised. And God knows he deserves to be praised. And God teaches us to praise him. And we ought to view it as God does in this chapter as an awful sin not to be grateful. It's an awful sin to be ungrateful, and that's what this text is pointing out. Sin, by the way, as this chapter also says, he turned them over to a reprobate mind. Sin affects the mind. That's where the battleground is with the devil, right there. And if we would learn to count our blessings more than our burdens and praise God more than we lament what the devil's been doing this week, we'll feel better about things too. Amen? But it gets to our mind. In a sinful mind, it won't thank God. It will not honor God. It will not remember God. It will not worship God. It will not be humble before God. It will try to replace God. That's what all of that is here. Why? Because it's a sinful, ungrateful towards God kind of way of thinking. And we ought to say, you know what? I don't want to commit that sin. It robs God of all the praise that is due to him. That's what this chapter here is a commentary on that very subject right there. Where's the appreciation for God who loves us? Where's the appreciation for God who gave us our life? Where's the appreciation for God, as Weston told us this morning, who sent His only begotten Son? Amen? Where's the appreciation for God? Don't you wish everybody was saved? Don't you wish everybody loved God and thanked God today? People are going to have Thanksgiving this week, and a lot of them don't even have a God to thank. I think it's on the back of your bulletin today, isn't it? About two different families. Don't read it now, but two different families. One took time to thank God, and one took time to just dig in and not even recognize God. Let's try to remember to give thanks to God. Amen? Let's try to remember to remember whatever we have came from God. You know, people like to take the physical gifts from God. They'll take life. They'll take air. They'll take health, they'll take money, they'll take jobs, they'll take the material blessings and then spurn the spiritual. Hey, I'll take this, God. I'll take the fact that You gave me good health. I'll take the fact that You gave me a job. I'll take the fact that I have money today and I'm able to go to work. I'll take all that and then reject God's Son. And sometimes they think they're going to take heaven while rejecting God's Son. You can't take heaven when you won't take His Son, right? When you're not grateful that He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross. And then sometimes those of us who are saved, we'll take peace and pardon and we'll take life and we'll take freedom that God has given us and still not thank Him for it. Right? Y'all with me today? I know that chapter, I'm trying to be positive here on that. But this chapter just describes it's a sinful thing. Not to be grateful, not to be thankful. We might brush it off, and I was griping a little bit yesterday, and I said something at the house. I'm trying to be thankful, I'm trying to do it. I got to preach on it tomorrow, amen. That's how preachers live sometimes, but y'all don't believe that, right, that I was griping about something? The circumstances sometimes not go your way. The people sometimes get in your way. Literally on the roads, amen, and stuff like that. Does it make you ungrateful sometimes? Okay. It's sinful. I'm confessing myself, amen. All right, neither were thankful. Alexander White was a Scottish preacher many years ago who was a very positive preacher. He started every Sunday morning with a prayer of thanksgiving, and everybody knew it. Well, they had one day, it was cold, it was miserable, and hardly nobody could make it to church. So the few folks that were there were wondering, what's his prayer of thanksgiving going to be today? Because there ain't much to be thankful for today. I mean, it's a terrible weather. People aren't here. It's just a bad Sunday morning. Boy, they're all tuned in to hear that opening prayer that's always a prayer of thanksgiving from him. So he gets up and he says, "We thank Thee, O Lord, that it's not always like this." Amen, right? And that might be just what we have to say sometimes. Thank you, Lord, it's not always this way. Amen? Thank you, Lord. And God can help us with these things. Folks, are you ready for Thanksgiving? Do you know the Savior? Are we living in a spirit of thanksgiving to our Savior? I hope this Thanksgiving we're going to say, thank you, Lord, for grace. Thank you, Lord, for family. Thank you, Lord, for just all these things. Thank God. Amen? But I hope today, first of all, we can say thank you for my salvation. Thank you, Lord, that I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, for your grace that is working on me. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not going it by myself anymore, but I'm walking with you and following Jesus. Amen. If you're not doing that, folks, get that straight. Amen. You'll have a better Thanksgiving. Lord, I need to be saved, and I recognize that. If there's anybody like that, get that straight. And then if we'll stop and think, it will cause us to think. To thank God. Amen. Neither were thankful, I declare. In a chapter describing the depravity of man, God put that right in there, didn't He? So let's try this week and beyond to be thankful. First and foremost to our Savior. Amen. And if you don't know Him today, I hope you'll meet Him today. Come to Him. He wants to save your heart, your soul. Amen. Let's bow our heads today. And let's stand. If you need to come this morning, thank God for something, ask God to help you to be thankful for things, to ask God to work on you, to ask God to save your soul. If you need to come this morning, say, Lord, I need your help here today. I need something. I need salvation. Would you come this morning? Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for your emphasis you gave us today. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for how you teach us. God, when we're not thankful, it's true, we should know better, especially those of us that are saved. And Lord, I pray now that you would just meet needs. If there's one here, Lord, that God, they've shunned you so far, they hadn't received your offer of salvation, I pray, Lord, they'd be thankful for the fact that you loved them. You love them. You died on the cross for them. And they'll say thank you today by receiving you as their Savior. And Lord, I pray you'd meet whatever needs are out here among the congregation. And prepare our hearts, Lord, for a good week of Thanksgiving. And I ask it in Jesus' name this morning. Heads are bowed. Some are down here praying. Some music plays. Maybe you need to come as well. Plays and some pray. You can pray where you are or down here. But would you do what the Lord wants you to do this morning? Obey His voice. Ask for forgiveness where we need to do that. Ask God to help us. Work on us. May His grace make us what we need to be.